It seems obvious in some ways, but not to our mind, to say what the Sabbath day is. The Sabbath day is the seventh day. It means number seven. That's what Sabbath means. It is one of the Ten Commandments. It is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The principle of the Sabbath attached to that commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5 is that it is tied to the creation. In Genesis, we are told that our Creator created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested from His work. And so the principle of the Sabbath comes from God's example for us. But here in this passage, in this text, we learn the reason for the Sabbath. It's not that God needed rest. He's God. It's that we needed rest. Humanity. The Sabbath is God's gift to humanity. It was made for mankind, for our good. This passage, clearly, the Lord Jesus makes the point of what the purpose of the Sabbath observance was. It is something in our modern culture that has been almost completely lost. Unless you are around those from an Orthodox Jewish perspective, or you have friends who may be members of the Seventh-day Adventist church, or you are familiar with some of those who strictly observe a Sabbath principle, it's almost totally alien and foreign to our culture. But it should not be so. In fact, those of us who love the Word of God, who believe it to be God's infallible, inerrant rule of faith and practice for us today, should look at this very carefully and ask, how does this commandment apply to us? That's what the Pharisees were doing. Although their whole activity at this time was seeing Jesus as a threat, as we've seen over and over in this brief series of messages so far from Mark, they looked at every chance to carp at Jesus, to criticize His every move, to undermine His ministry and His following. And yet, Jesus doesn't deny the Sabbath. Often this passage is used to say that old Sabbath rules are done away with. And He is very clear in His teaching that He does not do that. I can remember in the span of my ministry here, how the culture has changed in Northwest Arkansas regarding Sabbath observance. Some of you are nodding your head. You can remember as well. I remember, I think in the early 90s, maybe even the late 80s, when Walmart was closed on Sunday. In fact, I remember when Walmart, a corporation, if you work for Walmart, I'm not criticizing your corporation because that's not my purpose, but I remember very, very well the day that it decided to be open on Sunday, because Sam Walton's father was still alive at that time. Sam was still alive, and so was his father, and he wrote His father, Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart's father, wrote a very long, stinging rebuke of the company Walmart in the local paper. Some of you may remember that letter that upheld the principle that a day should be given to people and employees for the purpose of rest, because God made us to need rest. And this passage is not to be used as a justification, as some do, to have a lax attitude toward keeping the commandment. Because the truth of the Sabbath commandment is that we need rest. We are not able, the Sabbath principle is that we are not able to continually work without rest. Cultures have tried it. When I was in the military, we would go on field training exercises, and part of that was to see how long the unit could go without rest. And after a certain amount of time, it was very predictable that going 48 hours, 72 hours, as you pass those markers, things begin to break. People begin to break. Equipment begin to break. And the whole mission would begin to deteriorate. And there's a certain level that people can go until they break. In the French Revolution, if you are familiar with history at all, you'll know that during that time frame, during the Enlightenment time frame, the French culture decided to throw God out and create instead a religion of humanity. And one of the things they decided to do away with was the principle of the Sabbath day, of one day in seven. They were going to replace it with one day in ten. Instead of one day in seven, they thought a better system would be to apply the decimal system to rest. And what they discovered very soon was that the wheels fell off the culture completely. It was just a matter of a short time before they went back to God's method. We are made for rhythms of work followed by rest. That's the way God has made us. It is a creation ordinance. The Pharisees then see Jesus and his disciples on the way to the synagogue on the Sunday. And as they are passing through a grain field, they do what is allowed by the law. My first impression is reading this is they're just taking this guy's grain right out of his field and eating it. I mean, it's stealing, but it's not. In the Old Testament Israel, it was perfectly allowable. You look in Deuteronomy chapter 23, it was perfectly permissible if you were on a journey to go through someone's field and pluck the heads of grains and get nourishment. Not a very exciting meal, but nonetheless you could get nourishment in that way, and it was allowed by the law. So they're not criticizing them for stealing. I wouldn't suggest trying to do this in Burl Wilkie's watermelon patch over in Oklahoma or anybody else's. I would encourage extreme caution of trying to do that in someone's field today and saying, well, it's allowed by the Old Testament. Again, according to the law in Israel at the time that God gave for the nation of Israel, it was allowable. So it wasn't stealing that was their criticism. It was the fact that they, by picking these heads of grain and rubbing them in their hand, were working. Jesus answers their objection. They question him. Some of you have asked about how my paper on the life of David is going, and I want to encourage you to know, those who have asked and are praying for me in that this encouraged me to get back on it, this particular point. Because here Jesus answers not with a statement from the law, but with an example from the life of David. And he tells him, remember the time when David was running away from Saul, and Saul was pursuing him with his men, and David ran up from Jerusalem north to the seminary at Nob, where the priest kept the ark. And when they were hungry and there was no other bread, they ate the holy bread of the presence that symbolized God's presence with the people. Only the priests were supposed to eat that bread. No one else was supposed to eat that bread. And David and his companions, who were in dire need of nourishment, took that bread and ate it. Do you remember that time? So in the same way, my servants eat in order to save their life and to preserve their life. See, it's not the outward ritual observance that is important. It's that what is really at the heart of what is important to God is the preservation of life. That's what the Sabbath is for, is to preserve and to help life. We're so grateful that this principle has come down in our own culture, even in a time when Sabbath observance was more ingrained in our communities. It was always the case that medical personnel worked on the Sabbath, on Sunday. I can remember very distinctly that the drugstore in my small town in Alabama was always open for certain hours on Sunday for people who had needs for medicine. It was always a principle from the scriptures that the Sabbath is for people, is made for those who preserve life. Our medical personnel, our police, our firemen, they must be on call. Our military must be on call. Deeds of necessity are not in view in Sabbath prohibitions. Again, the Sabbath is for us. Jesus says, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, the Pharisees didn't really care. They didn't really care about the Sabbath ordinance. They really weren't primarily concerned about the fourth commandment and keeping it. They were concerned about using it as a tool to control and manipulate people. They sought power for themselves, and completely ignoring the underlying principle. What Jesus saw was their heart, and he saw that their heart was false and wrong. Changing the Sabbath and something that was good for mankind to something that was a cruel tyrant to use to rule over people with. The main principle of the Sabbath is rest from our work. And that's not to say it's not important. It's extremely important. Perhaps the Pharisees had in their minds the instance in Numbers chapter 15 where Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, and they came to a place where they were resting in a particular area, and a man went out on the Sabbath day and he began to pick up sticks for his fire in his home to cook his food. And it seems to me very harsh. And see, I think to most readers of the Old Testament, when you come to that passage to read, they discovered him. They brought him to Moses and Aaron. And they said, what are we to do with this man? And they inquired of the Lord. And the Lord says, put him to death. It seems to be a very severe sanction for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. Until we understand the Sabbath in light of the gospel, until we understand that the Old Testament is fulfilled by the New, it seems harsh. See, the Sabbath is a picture of salvation. It's a God-given picture in the cycle of life of rest from work, in which we are reminded that God has done the work for us. We do not have those sanctions, praise the Lord, for any of the commandments in the New Testament. The Old Testament is given to us for us to understand something far deeper and far more important, that we cannot earn our own salvation, that we rest from our work in order to know God's grace and His mercy. If we try to offer God our works for our righteousness, we are condemned. And we will die spiritually. That's why the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4 makes it so clear that the Sabbath principle is fulfilled by Jesus Christ, because he worked for us. He performed righteousness for us in order that we might not have to work for our own salvation. Why it says there in Hebrews chapter 4, there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And very clearly it's speaking about the gospel. That Christ has fulfilled our righteousness and what he has done for us on the cross, in his perfect life and in offering it for us on the cross. Then in chapter 3, we see again Jesus illustrate the purpose of the Sabbath in the first five verses. We don't know if it's the same Sabbath or the next Sabbath. Perhaps it, when we read the other two accounts in Matthew and Luke of this instance, it seems like it's the following Sabbath that he goes in to the temple again. And the Pharisees are watching him closely, seeking to find fault in him again. And there comes a man with a withered hand. Luke tells us it's his right hand. The non-biblical book of Barnabas tells us that he was a stonemason and made his living laying stones. He couldn't work because of his injury. And the Pharisees are standing there watching Jesus and wondering what he's going to do to this man in order to accuse him. And Jesus sees the hardness of their heart. And he is angry. We're told he is angry. The Son of Man is angry with the hardness of the Pharisees' heart, because they care more about their control and their power that they lord over people than whether a man can make a living for him, for his family. You see what moves the heart of Jesus to anger. Now, unlike our anger, Jesus' anger was perfect. His anger was righteous. But it tells us that our emotions are not wrong. If they are for the right reasons, we can be angry for the right reasons. And Jesus was angry. In order to demonstrate the purpose of the Sabbath, which is to do good, which is to heal, he has the man stretch out his hand, and then in the presence of the whole congregation, he heals him. The purpose of keeping one day and seven holy is to do good. Our larger catechism of the Westminster Larger Catechism gives a list of things that we ought to be doing on the Sabbath. And they don't include taking a nap on Sunday afternoon, I'm sad to say. They don't include that, although I think that could be included. If you look at that list closely, I encourage you to do so. You try to do all of those things on the Sabbath, you'll be a very tired person. They include a lot of good works. They include a lot of devotion to others, of visiting, of helping the needy, encouraging others, taking that day to worship God by loving him and loving people. That's what we're to be about. That's how the Sabbath is fulfilled. A whole day, it says. The whole day is to be used to keep for doing good. We can't do that on our own strength and our own power. We can only do it by the grace of God operating in our life. That's why the Sabbath is put in the commandments. That's why Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath. That it's made for us, that we might understand rest from our own good works, that we might understand rest from our own righteousness, that we might receive from God's hand the righteousness of God through Christ, which comes by faith. Do you have that this morning? Do you own that in your heart? Have you received it as a gift? Have you reached out with a hand of faith and accepted the free gift that is yours through faith alone and what Christ has done? As we pray, as we come to the Lord's table, ask yourself that as we prepare to receive the blessing of the righteousness of Christ, which is represented in this sacrament. Ask yourself if you truly know that in your heart and desire to keep the Sabbath day holy because of what Christ has done for you and in you through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.